asked Aunt Matthew what he thought of my morning reading, he instantly replied, "It was okay, but you should tell more African stories." So I dedicate this reading to him. We lived in Africa for 10 years, and I was lucky enough to spend two of those years on safari. For three periods during those 2 years, I was based in the northern tip of the Serengeti, identifying lions and guiding groups of people on research trips for the New York Zoological Society. While one group was staying at our tented camp, we'd arranged for two leading wildlife researchers to come and talk about their work. I collected them from their camp, and I took them back afterwards. Their names were Lawrence Frank and Bob Sapolsky. Lawrence is one of the leading hyena experts in the world, while Bob does baboons. Lawrence was very witty in conversation, but he was a bit dull when he was making his presentation. Bob was very quiet, until he got in front of the crowd when he was absolutely spellbinding. At their camp, when I took them back, they had a very large canvas tent with a big veranda on which they'd set up two long tables to work at. And we sat there and enjoyed a cup of tea. Their camp was in an oxbow of the Mara River on the edge of the national park. The view to the left was across endless open plain across the river, stretching away seamlessly into Tanzania. On our right was more open space with a small hill, which the locals might call a koppie, and then a gentle rise. Their camp was inside the park, and the other side of the river was the outside. The view was amazing, even though there were rolling black clouds above us. Our camp, some 30 miles away, was also in an oxbow. It was heavily wooded, full of noisy animals, and I commented on how quiet it was here on the plains. Lawrence told me that the other side of the oxbow was a designated campsite, but there are 12 more, he said, between here and the main road, and no one ever bothers to come down this far. No sooner had he finished speaking than we heard a rumbling sound, and a big overlander lorry appeared on the other side of the river and pulled into the opposite oxbow. The driver was alone. He threw down a sleeping bag, put a transistor radio on it, switched it on, and lay down to rest. We listened to the tinny noise of Nakupenda Malaika, which was a popular hit song at the time, drifting across for a few minutes without saying a word. Then Lawrence stood up and he walked across his headland, which was about 70 yards from where we were sitting, until he was opposite the driver. "Excuse me, would you mind turning that down?" he called. No response. A bit louder. "Excuse me, would you mind turning that down?" Still no response. And then he got really cross. We could see him swell up and the veins sort of stand out on his neck. And he bellowed, "Will you turn that blasted thing off?" As the echoes rolled across, there was a huge flash of light and the loudest bang I've ever heard as lightning hit the small hill, less than half a mile from where we sat. It was so close that the sound and the light were simultaneous. The driver shot to his feet. He grabbed his radio with trembling hands and turned it off. Bob and I were still sitting at the table with our teacups in our hands. I turned around to Bob and I said, "Gosh, that was really impressive. How did he do that?" With a perfectly straight face, Bob turned around to me and said, "Oh, it's easy, but it does tend to drain your batteries."